what you gave to the Marvin Williams Center, you can just add $14,000. What you are doing to make a difference locally here and in the world today, you're so generous, and God be praised for all of that. Well, Ava was born in a strict Muslim country. She was raised Muslim and committed to the Muslim faith in all of her life. And she talks about her journey and her story, and didn't know anything about Christianity, didn't know anything about Jesus, but she's committed to the Muslim faith. And that included, of course, her dress and, you know, the head coverings that Muslim women wear and so on, knowing that if she were ever in public without that, there would be a severe price to pay. Ava goes on and she says, you know, I prayed to Allah. I mean, I prayed to Allah daily. But in her words, she says, it felt like I was going around in circles because there was never any response. There was never any sense of peace in her life as she prayed to Allah. One night she went to sleep and she had a dream. And in her dream, she's running through the woods, and she's running through the woods without her head covering, knowing that the men that were chasing her in her dream ever caught up to her, they would beat her or worse. And she ran through that forest in her dream. She spotted a tree, and she spotted another man sitting in the tree. Ran up to the tree, and at the base of the tree was a metal door, and she says it felt cold and felt very much like metal. And she says, I knocked on it, and when I knocked on it, I said, God, who are you? And God, where are you? And she said, when I said that, the man in the tree spoke to me. And in my dream, when he spoke to me, she says, it was like electricity going through my body, not in a shocking way or painful way, but in an invigorating way. And she was drawn to the man in the tree, and the man in the tree asked, why are you running, and why are you so afraid? And asked, do you know who I am? And Ava said, she says, you're Jesus Christ. And she said, when I said that, he looked at me and he smiled. And he said, yes, now you know who I am, and you'll never have to fear, and I will protect you all of your life. And that was Ava's journey in the faith, and she's now a believer. That story amongst Muslim people has been repeated over and over and over again. Here at Gateway, I've heard that story twice here. Jesus is appearing to people who are far from him. And in a moment of distress, like Ava was, God came to her and revealed himself to her and brought her into relationship. It's a wonderful story. But you know, there's a story in the Bible that is very similar, really, and goes to the first book of the Bible. So in Genesis, right? In Genesis chapter 16, Abram and Sarah, the name is to be changed to Abraham and Sarah, have a slave girl, an Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. Now, Sarah hadn't had a child yet, and that was a bit of a curse for the day. And you know that promise to Abraham that the nations would, you know, his offspring would be as, you know, you can really count them. But she had no child, and so Sarah took matters into her own hands. So she gave her Egyptian slave girl to Abraham as a wife to bear a child. And so that's exactly what happened. Hagar bore Abraham's child. You would think it would be a day of celebration, but as the story turns out, it wasn't. Because Hagar became, can I use the word prideful of having this child? And so much so that Sarah got very, very upset. Sarah got very, very upset. And in fact, the Bible says she has contempt for me. In other words, I feel less than. She's making me feel less than because she's got a baby and she bore your child and it's your fault and all this kind of stuff. And Abraham says, well, you do whatever you need to do. And so the Bible says, as the story goes on, Sarah treated her harshly. Hagar treated her harshly. So harshly that she left the home. And I'd like for you to stop and think about that for just a moment. Where would you be in? You know, where would any of us be in that moment? Treated harshly, We did what we were asked to do, but now this seems to be payment for that. And so she left. She ran away. Well, it's real interesting, and here's where the story is very similar to Ava. It's very interesting because in that time and in that place of distress, God shows up. God shows up into her life, sends an angel of the Lord, the Bible says, to comfort her and to speak to her and kind of set her back on the path that he had designed for her. And even tells her that your son's name is going to be Ishmael. And that just means the God who hears. The God who hears. And Hagar, in that moment, followed the plan that was laid out before her. And then she does something. I'll show it to you. Genesis chapter 16, verse number 30. Therefore, after all of this happened, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." Just think about that for a moment. In that moment, God became the one who saw her, who responded to her distress. And she actually refers to him, "You are the God who sees me." It's another name. It was personal to Hagar because of what had taken place in that moment of distress. I'm sure that if we went around the room this morning and even online and wherever you are, if I were to ask you, has God shown up to you like that in your life? Some of us would say yes, and some of us would say, you know, I've never really experienced anything like that. I want to. And because I'm in a place of distress right now, I want that. You know, it was years ago, something happened in my own life that has so impacted me at the moment that I've carried it with me all of these years. And Jen and I were married and we had a family. And we had a little Volkswagen Bug, you know, that we'd stick our family into, and the dog and everything fit into there. I'm not even sure how that we did it, but we did it. But I remember this day is so a part of my life because it has taken me through so much. And it will sound so simple to you, but it was so impactful to me because I experienced this. I remember driving up to a stop sign in my car, and I don't know why God chooses the time or the location that he does in a Volkswagen Bug at a stop sign. When I hit my brakes and I stopped, there's something that happened inside my car. And it was like the sense of God and the presence of God. I didn't hear his voice audibly. I never have. But there was this sense and presence of God that filled my car. And in that moment, impressed upon me, look, I'm with you always. I'm walking after you. I'm there with you. I'll never leave you. And I've never forgotten those moments. And if we went around the room, some of you have those moments like that as well. But the reality is this. All of us aren't there. Let's be real. Some of us relate more to the psalmist, don't we? Who says this in Psalm 13:1, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day?" And here we are. So we're between this and we're in this, right? And some of us have had an experience maybe like what I've just described, and maybe a little bit different, but you know, in your moment, God came to you and you're hanging on to that. It was very real to you. Came to you in your distress, like Hagar or like Ava. That's part of your story. You're right here, but some of us are over here. And we understand what the psalmist says. I mean, this is real life. Lord, you know, you have forgotten me where I am. I'm in distress right now. You have forgotten me. And we might not share that with the person sitting next to us this morning. We might not share that with anybody. But that's what's in our heart today. And so we're between this and this. And that's where we are living. The psalmist, if you look through the book of Psalms, and someone described the Psalms this way, as they connect with us because they connect with all of life. We also read where the psalmist says, "Oh God, you're my God. You're always with me. You watch over me and you protect me." And that's where we find ourselves some days. But some days, it's right here. I want to share with you, as we kind of launch this series, #follow, something that is so important And it's really key, and it's this, that God is a relational God who calls us into relationship with himself and then others. Can you read it with me? God is a relational God who calls us into relationship with himself and then others. We'll get to the others in just a moment, but God calls us into a relationship with himself. And so for some of us, like, that's a bit of a struggle, because now we're thinking, okay, God, well, I know God, right? God is out there somewhere. He's out there. And he's the one who spoke, and, you know, like, the world came into existence, and he did all the things, and we intellectually, you know, we think of God, you know, but God connecting with me in that way, in this relational way, the answer is yes, and that's what we're talking about. Okay, God calls us into relationship with himself and then with others. Some years ago, I was introduced, teaching about the Ten Commandments. Now, you know the Ten Commandments, and if I were to say Exodus chapter 20, that might not mean too much to some of you, but if I said the Ten Commandments, you go like, oh, yeah, yeah, I mean, we can see the Ten Commandments, right? So we talk about them, even see them posted, maybe even some of you have them in your home, and some of you really smart people out there, you've committed them to memory, and you do your best to live by the Ten Commandments. And if they're brand new to you, let me kind of rehearse the Ten Commandments. Here they are. Number one, you must not have any other God before me. You must not. Number two, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth. You must not do that. And then you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You must not do that. Remember, these are commandments. Remember to observe the Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. So be sure to do that. Honor your father and mother. You know, all the moms and dads said, because that's the one you know, isn't it? That's the one you know right there. And you're not letting your kids forget that commandment, are you? No, you're not. Number six, you must not murder. Okay. Seven, you must not commit adultery. Number eight, you must not steal. Number nine, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. And then finally, you must not covet your neighbor's house or anything that your neighbor owns. Like, those are commandments, right? And so when we think of a relational God, we go, really? So a relational God is someone who demands, and a relational God is someone who commands me to live this way? Well, here's what I'd like for you to do, because that's a particular lens that maybe we're looking through today, that this God doesn't even let me live how I want to live. He just commands things to happen. But I want you to see the Ten Commandments through a brand new lens today, through what I'm just going to call a relational lens. Because each one of these commandments does one of three things: breaks, harms, or builds relationship, and is either consistent with love or inconsistent with love. Are you with me? So each commandment you're going to see that God has given to us either builds, breaks, or harms relationships, and is either consistent with love or inconsistent with love. You're going to see that right now. Let's go back to commandment number one. You must not have any other God before me. That's what God says, because that breaks your relationship, and that's inconsistent with love. And so he's saying to you and to me, don't allow this to happen in your life, because if you allow this to happen in your life, that's going to break this relationship that I want to have with you, desperately want to have with you. And if you allow another God before me, that's going to break that relationship. That's going to put something right there that's not going to allow me and allow you and me to have a relationship that I have designed for you. And so that's inconsistent with love. Number two, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. Why? Because that breaks a relationship as well. That's inconsistent with love. So don't do these things. Don't allow things to slip into your life, because if you do, we're not going to have that relationship. You see, it's all about relationship. Number three, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Why? Because that harms a relationship. And, you know, on you know, this plane here, we've experienced that where, you know, someone maybe has used foul language towards you or said something about you didn't like, and you know that harms a relationship. But God is saying, don't misuse the name of the Lord, because that will harm our relationship as well. And that also is inconsistent with love. Number four, remember to observe the Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Why? Because that honors this relationship, and that is consistent with love. So we take time to reflect and think about all that God is doing in our life. You honor your father and mother. Why? Because you'll be in trouble if you don't. No, why? Because that builds relationship, right? You know that. It builds a relationship. And that is consistent with love. And so, and by the way, we're never too old, and parents are never too old to honor. A little sidebar there. Number six, here we go. You must not murder. That's bad for a relationship. Right? And that is inconsistent with love. So God says, don't do that. That's a bad deal right there. So that's bad for a relationship. And then you must not commit adultery. And somehow, some way, I think that those two are right together for a reason. Because if you do that, you might experience the other. No, okay, so murder. All right. Don't commit adultery. Breaks relationship consistent with. Now, I want to say something right here. Anybody have kept all the commandments? Raise your hand. See, nobody, nor me. The reality is, we make mistakes, don't we? Sometimes we go through here and, you know, we get to harmful language and we get to adultery and we get to some of these things and inside our spirit is just grieved just a little bit because we understand and we feel bad because none of us have kept all of these things. But here's what I want to say to you. Aren't you thankful for Jesus who restores a relationship in our heart and in our life? The God of relationship says, look, there's a way and there's forgiveness and there's healing and there's wholeness. And that's what this is all about. Then you must not steal. Why? Because that breaks a relationship and that's inconsistent with love if you steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. Why? Because that breaks relationship and that's inconsistent with love. And then finally, the 10th commandment, you must not covet your neighbor's house, wife, servants, or anything, because that will harm a relationship. So we begin to see these commandments, and really all of the Bible, through a relationship lens, is this is a God who desires and seeks relationships for each one of us. Now let me ask you a question. How hard is it to follow someone who pursues us with this kind of love? It's not hard, is it? It's not hard to follow someone who gives himself to us and loves us so much and actively seeks us. And that's what we see in this relationship with God. So he says, I want to have a relationship with you, and I invite you into relationship with me. I think my favorite New Testament story is fast becoming the woman at the well. Wow, because we see all of this happening right here. Now we know this nameless Samaritan woman, right? There's really no name, just the Samaritan woman. And Jesus does something. Here's what we see Jesus doing, pursuing her. And so we know, right, Jews never go through Samaria. And if you go to John chapter 4, the only place, by the way, in the Gospels where we read about this story, in John chapter 4, here's what we see. Jesus says, I'm going to go through Samaria, much to the chagrin of his disciples. Because we don't do that, and I'll just paraphrase, we're not going to have a relationship with those people. And Jesus makes his way to this well where this nameless Samaritan woman comes. I love this story. Begins to step into the mess of her life and into her distress in a way that only Jesus can do. She was there alone. It's just a picture of her, of how alone she was, because going to the well, going for water, you know, that was just what women did. It was a social thing. It's where storytelling took place. It was like probably going to the coffee shop together is when you thought I was going to say going to the restroom, but I didn't. So going to the coffee shop, right, together, right, and just doing life together and people connecting. But she was living this thing all alone. She was alone. She was ostracized. I mean, the relationship that she was in, the one of six, you know, men, that just a string of broken relationships. And so she was immoral and she was all these things. But listen, Jesus stepped right into that mess of life. He has a discussion with her and has a conversation with her. And as a result of that conversation, salvation comes to her village. Now, the disciples made their way back, and they didn't understand what was going on. But the Bible says in the story, no one had the nerve to ask Jesus, why are you talking to her? Why are you doing that? And I'm sure much to their displeasure, when the Samaritan woman goes back to her village and says, come see this man, come see who knew everything. He was invited to stay 2 more days in the village, and which he did. And if you get to the end of the story, you find that so many believed in the one who called himself the Messiah. It's a beautiful story, again, of Jesus stepping into the mess of life in a way that only a woman who was an outcast could understand and sense. God is a relational God who calls us into relationship with one another, with him first, and then with one another. And by the way, this is where it gets messy. He calls us into relationship with himself, and then he calls us into relationship with one another. That's messy. I've heard some people say, look, I'm just a Christian, and I believe in God, but I don't go to the church. I don't connect with the body. Here's what I want to tell you. That is biblically impossible to do. You cannot be connected to the head without being connected to the body. That's a freak, and that can't happen. I don't know any other way to say it. It doesn't happen. Now, you're here, so I'm preaching to the choir, right? God calls us into relationship with himself, so we'll be connected to him, but then we're to be connected to one another. It gets messy sometimes, doesn't it? Because I don't know about you, but it gets messy in my family. If Jen were, she's sitting right down here. So I'm going to put words in her mouth, okay? But if she were to come up here, she would tell you that I'm the perfect husband. Would you say that? No, you what? No. You said, go to say yes. Okay. So I think that's what you, okay. But you know that I'm not, right? Yeah, I've made mistakes, and so have you. And, you know, I have pray perfect love for Jen, and she has perfect love for me. But listen, we're a family, and families, it gets messy sometimes, doesn't it? Right? Aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, kids, whatever like that. And so living the life out on that plane, it gets messy. Well, look, in a faith community just like this, it gets messy like that too. See, you don't always like me. Talk more about that in a little bit. And vice versa. But God has called us into relationship with himself and then into relationship with one another. And as we live this thing out, something miraculous happens. People begin to see what Jesus is doing amongst us. And they're attracted not to any individual or not to any church, not to Gateway, but to the kingdom of God. And they step into relationship with him because they see how that's working out amongst us. Now, the best picture I can give you today comes from Galatians chapter 5. Here it is, Galatians chapter 5. We read about the fruit of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what lives out within our body. So we got to come right back and ask another question, and it's this, when we talk about love. So, when we talk about love, love for whom? Think about it as we step through. Love for whom? How about joy? How about peace demonstrated for who? For whom? Peace. We're called to live in peace with one another. Not that we always agree, but to live in peace. How about this one? Patience. You can take a big like that. Patience too. Kindness shown to one another, goodness, faithfulness to whom? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness given to whom? Self-control to whom? The all fruit of the Spirit that's to live as we live in relationship with one another. Now, One of the things I enjoy doing is, I actually enjoy going to the grocery store. I think I probably have mentioned that before, and doing shopping and stuff like that. And once in a while, not very often, does Jen send me by myself, but she did a couple weeks ago, and she sent me to the store for one thing. And I come home with two bags because I think we need this stuff too, you know. Now, Jen is really good about checking prices, and I'm not so good at that, so I go, well, we need these nuts, you know, and she says, you know how much you paid for those nuts, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, so she blew her grocery budget in one small trip to the grocery store. Anyway, we go together a lot, and so we go by the fruit aisle, fruit thing there, and she says, okay, what kind of fruit do you want? And I love fruit, so I honestly could be a fruit something, fruitologist, I can live on fruit. I don't, but I think I could. I love fruit. So she said, okay, pick out what fruit you want. And so I love apples, but I hate mushy apples. Are you with me? They shouldn't even exist on the planet of the earth. They're right by spiders. Okay. So I pick out, you know, the Honeycrisp is a good. I like an apple that, like, you bite into it, it snaps, right? And you got all that. And so I pick out the fruit. And I love bananas, and I love grapes, and I think cherries are God's gift to mankind. And so we bought one time 25 pounds of Rainier cherries. Yeah, well, I won't tell you how it went after that, but because I ate about 20 pounds of them. So, and she kept warning me. Anyway, so... And then if you've been on our campus here, we walk through the market, right? So we host the farmer's market back here, and it's great that you walk down to the market. And here's what we do. We pick out the fruit we like, and we leave the stuff we don't. And sometimes that's what we do here. We look at that list of fruit of the Spirit, and we go, I like this right here, but you know what? This patience thing, we're gonna leave that right there on the shelf. We're not gonna do that right there. Maybe gentleness, you know. I like that fruit a lot. But that self-control thing, not me. And the reality is, I don't have an option, and neither do you. These are the things that are the fruit of the Spirit. As God calls us into relationship with Himself, and He does His work in our heart and in our lives, these are the things that come into our relationship. We're not perfect at it, are we? We're not perfect at it. But it's what we're to strive for. It's what we're to live for. And as we do, He enables us to do these things. So there are times when self-control, when you have self-control, and you know it's not you because you just want to go off on that person. It's not you, but God's Spirit is in you, and so you're living this thing out. And same with these others. And the really awesome thing is this. When we do, people begin to see there's a difference in you and me. God calls us into relationship first with Himself, because we're not in relationship with Him. These things are not going to work out very well at all. So if you're trying to do this and you're out of sync with Him, not going to go so well. You see, if we go back and we look at the Samaritan woman, here's what we learn. God steps right into the mess of life. He's called you and me to do the same. As His ambassador, as the one who is His representative to a lost and dying world. Why? Because we're in relationship with Him. I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to pray for you. If you're here and maybe you're online, and when I talk about a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus, that just doesn't connect with you because you've never received Him as Lord and Savior. The Bible says there's only one way to God. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's only one way to receive forgiveness. It's not your good works. It's not my good works. It's through trust and faith in Jesus. That is the only way to the Father. And I'm really happy for that because there's not enough good in me to earn my way. and there's not enough good in you. But God has come and said, it's not about your good. It's not about anything like that. It's about what my son Jesus has done. And I so get to understand this. I so want relationship with you that I'm willing to send my son Jesus into the mess of this world to live and to die for you. And I invite you into relationship with me through my son. So I'm going to pray with you in just a moment. If you've never received Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity. And you've heard me say it before. There's no magic words in a certain order. It's just saying, Jesus, I trust in you and have faith in you. And I ask you to forgive me. And I repent and I allow you to live my life out. There are some of us who are really struggling with on the fruit side. You know, we're in relationship with him, but we're struggling with the relationship with one another. Maybe people in your family, maybe people in the faith community, you're struggling there. And our prayer is, God, let your fruit live through me. It's not about me, God, it's what you're doing. So we're going to offer that up to Jesus today. Wherever we are, God calls us into relationship with him and says, just let me work in you and through you. And we believe, and I believe, that we're called to do this together. We're called to be disciples of his. I can't do it on my own. I need to have people around me. That's why we talk a lot about discipleship groups. That's why tonight is designed for you, a connect night. We're going to come together. We're going to gather around a meal together. We're going to hear the stories of life change from people and an opportunity to connect with each other to live out this thing. It's what it's all about. And I wish and I pray that everyone is connected in a group like that so that we can grow together, so that others can come in and experience what we've experienced. Let's don't keep it to ourselves. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to invite you to pray with me as I lead us in first a prayer of just repentance. That might look brand new for some of you. For some of us, you know, we're just our repentance is going to be, God, I've tried to walk this thing alone. I give my life to you again. Maybe you have drifted away from him. Whatever your story is, God is a relationship, God, that calls us to himself. And so, Jesus, that's what we pray today. And I pray, Father, that in this moment you would speak to our heart. Some of us perhaps we've strayed away. We've just allowed a lot of things to come into our life. And so, when we went through those commandments, those relationship commandments, we've allowed things to come into our life that has caused us to drift away from you. And that's where we are today. Some of us, perhaps we have never received you as Lord and Savior. And some of us are struggling with God, you being a relationship God. Some of us are struggling living this thing out in a faith community in our families. God, we just bring all of ourselves to you today. And if you're here and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I just want to invite you to pray with me. It's a simple prayer that says, God, I just give my life to you. I trust you. I want to trust you. I repent of my sins and I ask you to be Lord of my life. I give my heart and give my life to you. God, you're stepping into my mess right now and calling me to yourself, and I respond, I give myself to you. Or maybe you're that one who you've drifted away, but today you're coming back to him. You understand that God is one of relationship who calls us to himself in our moment of distress, like Ava, like Hagar, like so many personal stories here, so many other stories in the Bible where we learn of who you are. God, we're coming back to you today. Some of us have had difficulty living out this relationship thing within the family, the faith family, or even our immediate families. And God, you called us, and so we understand it's not by our own power. There's nothing in us. But it's you working in us and through us. So God, we give this to you. And for some of us right now, we're actually going to be lifting something to the Lord. God, help me in this area. I've picked these fruits off, but I've left that one there. And that's the area that you want to work in my life. And God, as you work in us and as you work through us, it's our prayer, God, that you would do something incredible and amazing. People will be drawn not to us as individuals, not to Gateway, but to the kingdom of God. God, build your kingdom. That's our prayer. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, maybe for the very first time of coming to Jesus, or you're drifting a little bit and you have some, you know, you have to make your way back. There's that card right there. It's the Connect card. That, use that to let us know so we can help one another. It's what it's all about. Look, I need help. You need help. Let's do this thing together. Let's grow in Jesus and just see what he can do. Amen. Amen. And as we live this thing out, people will come to know him. Our purpose here is to share this good news with our local community in the region and in the world. That's our purpose. That's why Gateway exists. God's a relationship God. He calls us into that, but he calls others too. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, go with us as we go today. May we go today with just a sense, a renewed, maybe a freshness to the relationship that you have invited us into. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Oma's in the back. Have a great day.